Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Welcome to another edition of Sound of Spurs podcast. I'm the longtime radio voice of the Spurs, Bill Schoening. This is episode number 21, presented by SWBC. And our guest today might not be a household name, but he's got a great journey and a great story. And we're very pleased to be joined by former Spur, Tom Copa, the pride of Coon Rapids High School and a native of Robbinsdale, Minnesota, wherever that is. Tom, welcome. And we're so happy that you took the time to join us. This is fun. We've had a great time this year in the 50th anniversary of the Spurs, bringing back a lot of players, some of whom have had, you know, great accolades. You have not. But as I just alluded to, your basketball journey is so cool. So let's just start at the beginning. What was it like to grow up in Robbinsdale, Minnesota in the 60s?
Well, I was born in Robbinsdale, but that's actually just where the hospital is. I grew up in a town called Coon Rapids, and Coon Rapids is a northern suburb of Minneapolis-St. Paul. And back in the day, it was an idyllic life. I lived in a neighborhood that was overrun with children and families, and all we did was play sports. We played hockey, we played street hockey, we played baseball, we played football, we played basketball, softball. That's all we did as children in the street. And so it was a great place to grow up.
There was no NBA back then because the Lakers had left about 5 years before you were born to go to Los Angeles, and the Timberwolves hadn't come in yet. So was as far as basketball, following basketball, was it more about the Minnesota Golden Gophers?
Yeah, at the time, the Gophers were strong. Michael Thompson was there. Flip Saunders was there. And so we followed the Gophers and listened to them pretty religiously on the radio.
Yep. You were Mr. Basketball in the state of Minnesota in 1983, I believe. Is that correct?
That's right.
You know, the Spurs' current point guard, Trey Jones, was Mr. Basketball in the state of Minnesota in 2018. So you have that in common with one of the current Spurs.
Oh, that's fantastic. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, and he's a great guy, of course. And I think his brother Tyus may have actually been Mr. Basketball in Minnesota. Well, you had a good career, though, Coon Rapids High School. How heavily were you recruited after your senior year?
I was pretty heavily recruited. I was an All-American in both football and basketball, and I was recruited by some of the biggest names in football, the University of Nebraska, University of Minnesota, UCLA. Back then, BYU was big. I guess they're still pretty big. And then in basketball, I was fortunate enough to attend the five-star camp in Pittsburgh between my junior and senior year and made the all-star team on the 2 weeks that I was there. And so recruiting really amped up nationally after that. I was recruited by Syracuse and Virginia and Duke and University of Minnesota, of course, Marquette, Missouri, a lot of places, and ended up, of course, choosing Marquette University out of Milwaukee.
Yeah, Marquette, of course, a very good academic school, as well as being a good basketball school. What attracted you to Marquette in Milwaukee?
There are quite a few things. So I had a really good relationship with Coach Rick Majerus, and he had a track record of developing big guys, and so tall guys as well as big guys. So I thought that would be a good fit. On my trip, I met all of the players, and it felt like home when I walked into the locker room. And then I'm Catholic, and Marquette's a Jesuit school, Catholic school. And so it felt culturally, it felt very familiar to me. And so, and I wanted to be in a smaller school, wanted an opportunity. I knew college was going to be a challenge academically, especially with the commitments of athletics. And so a small student teacher ratio where I could get individualized support was also important. And so for those reasons, I chose Milwaukee and Marquette.
I got to know Rick Majerus a lot better later when he was at Utah and I was at the University of Texas. And we'll probably talk a little bit about Austin and Texas here in a moment. But he had a very sarcastic sense of humor. And I don't think I ever did a pregame interview, Tom, with Rick Majerus when I didn't have to edit something out. What was your experience with, give me a good Rick Majerus story that you could tell, that maybe you could share, because I'm sure there are a few that you might not be able to, but he was a funny, funny guy, wasn't he?
Rick was great. So I got a couple. So that, one is Rick used to be very active in practice, and he was really into the practice, and he would lean down and he would lean forward and he'd grab his head and he had this habit of sticking his hands in the back of his coaching shorts and sitting there like this back then, he wore a jock strap and so no underwear, and his hands are all over his sweaty rear end. And he sweated profusely. And so at the end of practice, he'd say, "All right, guys, bring it in." And then he'd stick his hand out and everybody's supposed to put their hands on his hand. And, and all the guys are like, "I'm not touching that hand." And so we'd all like put our hands in and play cat and mouse. And he'd be reaching up trying to grab a hand and he'd get one. And then everybody would shove their hands in because he would take his second hand and put it on top. And so you wanted to be somewhere in the middle between that bottom one and that top one and stick your hand in there. And then he'd go, "All right, on team together on three." And we'd go, "One, two, three, team together." And then the two guys that were on the bottom and the top would sprint to the locker room to go wash their hand. And that happened every single day. And Rick never knew why two guys sprinted out of the gym because nobody ever had the audacity to tell him. Wow. So that was one thing. Another really good one is, you may remember the commercial, and I can't remember. I think it was either insurance or a cell phone company, but they would have this guy, and a series of unfortunate events would befall this person. Like he would ride his bike into the ditch, and then a back end loader would load some dirt on him, and then something else would happen, and this guy just went through this series of horrible events, and then the person, the company advertising would say, "You need to have good coverage, because if you don't, you're going to ride your bike into a ditch, a back end loader is going to fall on you," all this stuff. And Rick used to say that same stuff in practice. Like if you had the audacity to miss a layup in warmups, he'd blow the whistle. Hold on. You missed a layup because you're not focused. If you don't focus in basketball, you're not going to focus in class. If you don't focus in class, you're not going to get good grades. If you don't get good grades, you're not going to get a degree. If you don't get a degree, you're not going to have a good job. If you don't have a good job, your wife's not going to be happy. If your wife's not going to be happy, she's going to leave you. If she leaves you and you have a bad job, you're going to be homeless. You're going to be slaying in a ditch. Make your goddamn layups. Like everybody's looking around like, "Whoa, coach, I missed a layup. Next thing you know, I'm divorced and homeless." I had no idea this was so important, but it was hilarious. That guy was serious, man. He took everything serious.
Well, it's amazing the programs that he built in different places. Of course, Marquette had that reputation, but he went out to Utah and really built a national power and recruited guys from LA and all over the place to come to Salt Lake City.
Yeah. He went from us to the Bucks for a year, and then he went to Ball State. And I don't know if you remember at Ball State, I think he took him to the tournament, and that's where he got his opportunity to go to Utah. And then he just settled in at Utah. And, he had a great career at Utah.
Let's get back to you for a moment, Tom, because we talked about your career at Marquette. You even said in a recent article that you were a marginal player, a mediocre player, but you averaged 8 points and 5 rebounds. But certainly that doesn't jump off the page to say, "Draft me in the first round." So you didn't get drafted, but you did get drafted by the CBA, the 44th pick. So did you have thoughts, at least at that time, of playing in the CBA?
Not at all. I was done with basketball when I left Marquette. I was fed up with it. I was very disappointed in how my college career went, and just didn't enjoy the game at the end. Rick left my senior year, before my senior year, and we got a new coach. You know, I didn't really get along with that guy, and I was done. I got invited to Portsmouth. There used to be a senior thing out in Portsmouth. I forget what they call it.
There still is. Yeah.
And I didn't even want to go. And I got called it, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to go. And one of my teammates got invited, and he says, Tom, why aren't you going to go? And I said, I don't want to play. He's like, man, you're stupid. You got to go. You should at least go. So I went. Of course, I didn't want to be there. It didn't go well. And I just didn't want to play anymore. And so so I didn't. And that's when I moved out to Vail. After I took one extra semester to graduate, and then I moved to Vail with a buddy of mine and tried to figure things out when I was out in Vail.
So about a year, maybe not quite a year, but a hiatus, trying to find yourself kind of thing when you were basically running shuttles from the Stapleton Airport in Denver up to Vail. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah. I went out there and I needed to get a job. And so I looked in the newspaper like you used to back then. And this guy was hiring for a shuttle driver. So I'm like, I can drive. So I did that, and I got up every morning at 4:30, left my apartment, had to go get my van, get it warmed up, and then made the rounds to the hotels around Vail and picked people up. Brought them down to Stapleton, went and washed my van, went back, picked up the folks that had landed at Stapleton, drove them up to Vail, dropped them off at their hotels, washed my van, picked up the new group of people at the hotels, drove them back down to Stapleton, dropped them off. And then washed my van and then went back to Stapleton and picked up the next group and drove them back to Vail. And I'd get back to Vail around 8 or 9:30 at night. I'd have to go wash my van, turn it back into the depot and get home sometime around 10:30 or 11. And I did that pretty much every day.
That does not sound like a fun job. That sounds like a long day, especially if you have to drive in conditions up there at elevations.
Yeah, there were some conditions. But you know what? I was young. I was 23 years old, and I guess I was angry. I was not a settled person at that time. You know, I was still processing everything. You know, I had a degree from Marquette, good school, and here I was just out. I thought trying to escape. At the time, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go out there and become a ski bum and just get out of here, just end up skiing 4 or 5 days and driving almost every single day. And I think the monotony of it was my own way. I didn't do it consciously. I think it was a subconscious thing that my brain told me to do just to process, you know, what I was going to do with my life and what happened at Marquette, because it was not at all what I wanted to happen.
But Tom, there was part of you somewhere deep inside that said, I'm not through with basketball yet. I didn't really fulfill my complete potential with the game. And I was reading this article that Jeff McDonald wrote about you in the San Antonio Express News, which, by the way, is a great little piece on you, I thought. And he said that you had kind of a revelation moment, if you will, during the 1988 Final Four when Kansas played Oklahoma. You're listening to the game on the radio. Is that right?
Yeah. I was driving back one night from Stapleton and I didn't have any passengers. And so I turned on the radio, and as fate would have it, the national championship game was on, and I started listening. And, I heard all the same old familiar names and guys that I had played against at camps and had been following for my entire career. And I started to get angry. And I was like, listen to all these guys. You can hear the crowd going crazy, names being announced all across the world via radio. And I thought, that used to be me. I used to be on the floor and I could play. And here I am driving a shuttle bus. I've got a beard and jeans I haven't washed in 3 weeks.
You became a ski bum. You were a successful ski bum.
I became a bum. And I didn't like it. I didn't like what I saw in the mirror, and I didn't like where my mind was going. And I said, you know what? I've got to get back into the real world. And so I just through a series of very fortunate events, I turned in my notice, said goodbye to my roommates, and drove back to Milwaukee. My arrival in Milwaukee coincided with the arrival one of my former teammates at Marquette who had played a year in Europe. And we went out for a beer and I asked him how things were going. He's like, man, this is great. I'm over in Europe. I'm making a bunch of money, you know, paying for all my expenses. And I just love it. It's the best thing ever. You should do it. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. And I said, I'm done with basketball. He said, Tom, it's not the same. When you're a pro, there's nobody yelling at you. They just put the ball out and you practice and they work on your skills and you just go play. And it's completely different environment. You would love it. And then he showed me the stack of money that he had, of course, which I had none. And so I said, you know what? I'm gonna give it a go. So I dedicated myself that summer to getting in shape. Worked out with the Marquette guys. Went to the weight room. Did all the things you're supposed to do. And there was a camp in Chicago at the end of the summer, run by a guy named Scott Woltzen, where he brought in 150 players, put them on teams, and then scouts from all over the world came and watched the guys play. And again, as fate would have it, a coach from Belgium was there, and he saw me play, and he asked me if I'd join his team. And so I said yes.
And you ended up staying there 3 years, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I stayed in Belgium in a town called Bruges. I was there. I played there for 3 years. Yeah.
Here's another connection for you with the Spurs. Bruges is where Tony Parker was born.
You know what? I think people told me that.
I think Tony was born in, I know he was born in Belgium and raised in France, but I'm trying to get you the connection with the younger generation there. But you averaged 21 points and 14 rebounds 1 year. So were there some scouts from the NBA or from some other leagues like the CBA looking at any of these games?
No, I don't. Well, back then, I don't believe so. There was other European coaches that would come in. But the way the Spurs found me was my wife became pregnant with our oldest son, my third season in Belgium. And so we had planned on spending the summer in Milwaukee, which is, of course, the off season. And since she became pregnant, I asked her, do you still want to go back to Milwaukee? And she said, no, I'd kind of like to be near my mother when I have the baby. And I said, well, that makes sense to me. And her mom and dad had just relocated to Austin, Texas. And so we came down and spent the summer in Austin and ended up actually living with my in-laws for the summer. My father-in-law, you know, he helped me find a gym. So I found a gym and I started working out with a personal trainer. And then my father-in-law actually asked me if he could write letters to the NBA teams in Texas and let them know I'm in town. And I said, well, you go ahead and write a letter, but that's not how it really works. And so he ended up writing a letter and letting him know. He put together a little resume with my collegiate statistics, my Belgian statistics, a picture, and sent it off to the Spurs, the Rockets, and the Mavs.
That's amazing. And through that, you end up in San Antonio. And it was like a brief tryout, or was it actually training camp, or how did that work?
So they have the NBA team, I think they still do these. They have a rookie free agent camp, which starts before preseason. And so they bring in all the rookies they drafted and any free agents they want to look at. And that culminates in a black and silver game. And after the black and silver game, Bob Bass came up and said, hey, we'd like you to come to fall camp. Are you open to that? And I'm like, you bet. And so, they actually asked me to come to Milwaukee for the intervening 6 weeks and work out with the team so that I'd be ready. And so Molly and I and our newborn son moved down to San Antonio, and Charlie actually slept in it. We rented a little one bedroom apartment and Charlie slept in the walk-in closet and ended up making the team.
San Antonio sports fans know great teams are powered by great talent. SWBC is looking for new talent to join our team. In a workplace where game-changing ideas drive success, we employ top professionals in IT, accounting, human resources, insurance, and more. Great teams are powered by great talent, and great employees are empowered at SWBC. Apply today at swbc.com/careers. That's swbc.com/careers.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
The quote from Greg Popovich in this recently released story by Jeff McDonald, he was like a man from the moon. He came in here and started knocking heads. What do you remember about those early workouts, and were you trying extra hard to try to impress the coaches?
Well, for sure, I was trying extra hard. And, you know, I was too naive to know that I shouldn't challenge people. So, you know, I remember getting the ball one time at the top of the key, and I turn around and Terry Cummings is there. And so I make a move. He goes left. I go right. You know, I go up for the dunk, and Terry comes in and he tries to block it. And so I just held my arm up to shield him, and I ended up cutting his forehead with my elbow. And, you know, Terry got kind of mad. And then Pop was there and he says, Terry, the man's trying to earn a job. Like, he's not here just screwing around. And I wasn't, you know, I don't know, Bill, if you have children, but, you know, when you have a child, the rules change. You know, you got somebody, you got a mouth that depends on you. Right. And so I was unemployed. I had a new baby. I had a wife. I was essentially homeless and I needed a job. And so I was going to, you know, ply my trade. And so I did.
Tom, are you going to tell me you couldn't retire on the money you made in Brussels?
Not at $2,000 a month.
All expenses paid. If you ever get a chance, there's a guy that wrote a book. His name is Paul Shirley. He was a journeyman guy. And yeah, he played for six or seven teams overseas, played at Iowa State in college or Iowa. Anyway, I think it was Iowa State. But his book is so funny. It's called Can I Keep My Jersey? And it's about my experience, right? Because he gets cut from every team he's ever played for. And right. But the way he does it with a sense of humor, and I guess that's the way you have to approach these things. So anyway, you get to play 33 games for the Spurs. And then I guess you got a tryout with the Rockets the next year. And you were waived first. How did that all work out?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. I was in the summer. After my rookie year with the Spurs, they exercised their option, and I had a three-year contract, but they exercised their option and cut me and invited me back to camp. And that's when Jerry Tarkanian was the head coach.
Wow.
And, you know, Tark ran a run-and-gun kind of offense, and, you know, that's not my game. And so I decided to try something else. And as it turns out, Pop joined Don Nelson at Golden State. And so he called me up and said, hey, you want to come and work out here this summer? And I said, sure. So I went out to Golden State for a little bit and was playing with them. But, I just didn't really care for it. I'm really not a Oakland guy or California guy, and which is kind of a stupid reason not to like it. But I just didn't. And so I came back to Texas, and my agent got me a tryout with the Rockets. And so I went to Houston and was working out with them, and they invited me to camp. And ended up making the team for the first couple of games, and we opened up against the Supersonics in Tokyo, and so flew over to Tokyo with the team and opened up. And then when we got back after the first couple of games, they cut me, and so then I joined the Lacrosse Catbirds and the CBA for a couple of months, and then
close to home.
Yeah. Yeah, and Flip Saunders, as it turns out, was the head coach of the Catbirds at the time.
I've talked to Mario Elio, who's one of the guests we've had. And of course, he played in the CBA. And I think he told me the per diem back then was $20 or $22 a day. Something you couldn't really get a lot of steak and chicken on. You had to get a hamburger, I guess.
Yeah, no, the CBA is a temporary spot for most guys because I think you make like 20. I mean, I remember when I filed my taxes, I made 10% in 1992 that I had made in 1991. 10%. And I didn't make that much in 91, by the way.
The NBA and the CBA, right? So let's fast forward. So the career's over. And now I'm looking at your bio, and you're a biotechnology executive. You've had a great success in your career as a businessman. Just kind of bring us up to date, Tom, maybe the Reader's Digest version of where your basketball career ended and where your business career began and where you are now.
Yeah. So quickly, I quit playing a couple of years after San Antonio. I was in Italy. And after I left Italy, I quit. I was just really beat up and sore. And I was just tired of being sore all the time. So I was 29 years old, and my first job out of basketball was selling surgical supplies for a company called Baxter Healthcare. And I did that for a while, became a regional sales manager with one of their other divisions, was recruited to join a startup company here in Austin called Luminex. I joined them as a business development director, was there for 17 or 18 years, rose up through the ranks and eventually to the vice president of one of their business units. And then joined a company called Asuragen here in Austin 5 years ago in September, and led their sales, marketing, and support organization called Commercial Operations. We were bought a couple of years ago by a company called Biotechni, and where I'm now the vice president of commercial for one of their business units or for the division.
And you've settled there in Austin. You're pretty much going to be there for a while, I think.
Yeah, I love Austin. We've got a ton of friends. We're active in our church. We were active in Boy Scouts and in the youth sports programs. All my kids went to school here. We've got some property in the Hill Country. Central Texas is really a special place.
It really is. And it was so cool to have you on today. And also the fact that they did that story on you to kind of bridge the Austin and San Antonio gap, which, as you know, is getting closer and closer, isn't it, Tom? Because those two cities are almost growing together now.
Well, back when I first started at Baxter, I lived here, but my territory was in San Antonio. And I used to drive to San Antonio 3-4 times a week. And there used to be open land between here and San Antonio. And now it's, Kyle Butas and Marcus New Braunfels, shirts, San Antonio, and it all just kind of melds together.
It sure does. Well, Tom, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking the time to join us and be part of this 50th celebration, 50th anniversary celebration for the Spurs. Final question, I ask this to all the guests. You think about the Spurs 50 years, of course, they came from the ABA, the Dallas Chaparrals 50 years ago. What are your thoughts on the Spurs legacy in pro basketball and in the NBA?
I think the Spurs legacy is really something special. They deliver a product that built on character and teamwork and execution, and it's unlike any other team. And if you watch, not that the other teams don't work hard, and not that the other teams don't have character, but the Spurs, when watching the Spurs play basketball is like watching a European soccer team play soccer. They drive, they dish, they drive, they penetrate, they pass around, they skip pass. And they're not always just looking for the immediate shot. They're looking to set somebody else up for an easier shot. And it's fantastic. And they make the game look so easy. But of course it's not. But they just wear you down. And they do it with guys of high moral character. And it's awesome. And it's really, really good to see people do things the right way and also, by the way, win this season notwithstanding. So bright shining star of how a professional team should be run, and all credit to them for that.
Tom, once again, thanks for the kind words, and also thanks for taking the time. Hope to meet you in person one day. I'm running between Austin and San Antonio, too, so I'm sure we'll cross paths one of these days.
I look forward to that, Bill.
Thank you. That is Tom Copa, former Spur, episode number 21 of the Sound of Spurs podcast, brought to you by SWBC. I'm Bill Schoening. So long, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.